Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, through the first part of verse 8. But I imagine most everyone here already knew that. It's written so beautifully, isn't it? It's almost poetic. It's read at weddings, and I'm sure at some point we've all been encouraged to put our name in place of the word love to see how we measure up with those statements. We spend time defining what patience or kindness is, or what it means to bear all things, and all of those other attributes that are mentioned. I'm not going to do that this morning. What I want to do is do something slightly different and look at a few of these qualities and talk about why those who love as God wants us to love does those things. And as we do, let's keep in mind the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So the Christians at Corinth are divided and are even arguing over which gifts are better. Some claim that tongues are better. Others believe that miracles are better. Others prophecy, etc. And that's where chapter 13 comes in. In verses 1 through 3, Paul mentions that someone could have the most incredible gifts and even sacrifice their life, but if they're not doing it out of love, then it's meaningless. And then we come to verses 4 through 8. So why is love patient? Love is patient because the one who loves sometimes has to endure the ones they love behaving foolishly and selfishly. Clearly, with the issues going on at Corinth, there were Christians who were behaving this way. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." Paul tells the Christians at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Inevitably, the people that we love are going to do something foolish or selfish. Are we patient with them in how we handle the situation, or do we respond rashly and potentially make matters worse? Sometimes it takes patience to work through an issue that arises with our brethren. Why is love kind? Because the one who loves must suffer through unkindness and meanness. When someone is unkind to us, the easy thing to do is retaliate in response. Think about the mistreatment Joseph had to endure for years because of his brothers. When his brothers would later come to Egypt for grain, he had the opportunity to get revenge for all that they did to him. And while he did mess with them a little bit, he was merciful and forgiving and took great care of them. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 17, it says, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It can hurt deeply when friends or relatives do something unkind to us. But if we're not even supposed to repay evil with evil to our enemies, how much more so should we respond with kindness to our brethren and other loved ones who have wronged us? Why does love not brag? Because the one who loves must endure humiliation from the ones they love from time to time. Again, Paul is speaking to the Christians at Corinth who are arguing over which gifts are better. They're boasting about who supposedly has the better one. Boasting can happen today as well, can't it? People may boast about their possessions, their education, or they may even boast about what they believe they have accomplished in service to God. Whether done intentionally or not, boasting can be discouraging and may even affect people's desire to be around us or even their desire to worship with us. May we always have the attitude of Paul, that we will only boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does love not take into account a wrong suffered? If the one who loves did take wrongs into account, then all that would take place is scorekeeping of those who wronged each other the most. We all make mistakes. We all say things that we shouldn't to one another. Instead of holding grudges against one another, we need to be forgiving and understanding, being thankful that others are forgiving and understanding with us as well. When Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive someone who sinned against him, Jesus responded, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. In other words, we should always be willing to forgive someone who sins against us, even if they have done so repeatedly. Why does love not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoice in the truth? Because loving someone requires the courage to let them know when they have made mistakes that need correcting or are living in error. As parents, we do everything we can to protect our kids. When they're small, we protect them from diving headfirst off of beds, sticking their fingers in electrical outlets, trying to eat random things that they shouldn't, and many other things. As they get older, the protection changes more and more to things like bad influences that they need to avoid or particular places that they shouldn't go. Why do we do this? Because we love them and we want to have what's best for them. How about our brothers and sisters here? If we see someone behaving in a way that they shouldn't, do we, out of love, try to help them change that behavior in a patient and kind way? How about your friends and coworkers who are not Christians? Do you have discussions with them about the Bible? If we love them, helping them learn the truth should be our priority. What does that say about us when about what we think of others if we will talk to them about everything else in our lives, but we're too nervous to talk to them about the gospel because we're worried that we might upset them and potentially affect that friendship? So why does love need to do all of these things? It's because we live in an unloving world. We do not love perfect people. It's easy to love someone when they're living and behaving the way that they ought. It's when people inevitably act in a selfish or sinful way that our true capability to love is shown. Why is there so much divorce in the world today? It's because people do not love their spouses as described in these verses. Lack of love is why there is so much division in the world today. Love is so much more than just an emotion or a passion. It's a commitment that we make to people who are flawed sinners just like us. And we need others to love us in the same way, because we have all mistreated those that we love as well. Do we love our brothers and sisters here at Olson Park this way? When we look for an example of what perfect love looks like, we see the perfect example hanging on a cross. As I read these next few verses, think about those qualities of love we see in verses 4 through 8 and see just how much our Savior loved us. Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 12. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers took him away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort. They dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling and bowing before him. After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him. Moving over to Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 33. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanging there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered in rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Our sins are the reason that Jesus suffered so much and died. It's our mistreatment, our lack of love towards God that put him on that cross. His sacrifice was the ultimate display of love. In John chapter 13, starting in verse 34, it says, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let us all strive to love one another as Jesus loved us.